Blog Talk Radio.
Given a set of circumstances we're under, especially related to this COVID-19. This is the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yum Sufari, And this show is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the interactions of our founding fathers in this regard with Yah, with each other, with different nations. That being said, getting back to a contemporary subject matter before we get started and our today's study lessons, we are concerned about your mental health during this COVID-19. That is one of the primary reasons why Cartrail is providing the psalmist, because the psalmist King Dawood and other psalmists dealt with mental issues. Also, Cartrail is about to get started sometime in the near future, the book of Proverbs, also to give you some alleviation under these dire straits. Human beings are not designed to be alone. We knew that from Adam, one of our founding fathers of creation. And man was not meant to be alone, and our woman for that matter, equally speaking. So we understand that dire need for relief, peace of mind, and a sense of direction and a purpose. We also advise you to do the best you can with what you got under these dire circumstances, be it starting a hobby, a bit more study, interact with others on Zoom or telephone, not just get it on a telephone or Zoom, running your mouth off and arguing about a whole lot of nonsense, but perhaps having some constructive and a positive conversations. You know, we have a bad habit when we get together. We sit there like to argue, fuss, fight, and sometimes kill one another. That is not the kind of interaction that I am alluding to. I'm talking about getting together, doing something constructive and a positive. Perhaps setting up your Zoom contact with someone and setting up your chessboard or checkerboard, and you make the move and they make the move for you, and they have a checking a chessboard on their side, and so on and so forth. You need that interaction. And as I said, that's why Cartrail is in the book of the Psalms and is heading on after that to the book of Proverbs, because we understand and we want you to be in the best state of mind you possibly can be in on this pandemic, this plague that has besieged us in this known universe. So try to do the best you can with what you got. We understand. We understand sometimes it can be rather depressing. But I often tell people this. When it comes to mental illness and other matters, sometimes you must not entertain it and get caught up in it. And sometimes, you know, you can't entertain such things. You have to just simply ignore them and keep it moving. So, in regards to yourselves, fellow students, get prepared for some more lessons that will help you in your day-to-day living. You're solidifying your relationship with Yah and perhaps solidifying your relationships with each other. Unfortunately, some of us don't seem to gather that. They think just because they recognize Yah, Yah recognize them. No, that simply don't be the case there, especially if you're not doing what Yah tell you to do. And especially if you're a busybody and you're lying, and you're going about doing things that you shouldn't be doing, that does not solidify a relationship with you with Yah. And that's why, one of the reasons why we're in these studies, not for a warm, fuzzy feeling, but to glean as every bit of information that we possibly can about Yah. and about our ancient fathers' interaction with you, and how their life was much more pleasant with that interaction, and what were those interactions, and how they were rather unpleasant with their interaction with Yah, and what were those behaviors that made their lives rather unpleasant. So, but before we get started, brothers and sisters, fellow students, I'm going to bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Fahri. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother. May it bless you and your family also. Pleasure to hear from you today.
You as well. You as well.
Okay.
Some heavy things on my mind because my cousin, my brother, Nasi Kamo, was in the hospital with kidney failure in Florida.
Right.
And many Israelites in New York know of my cousin, my brother, my friend, Nasi Kamo.
Right.
He's got kidney failure. He's a couple of months older than us. He was born in July 1956.
Right.
But he's going through this kidney failure. And I just ask that the Most High bless him and re-strengthen him and bless him while he's struggling with his ailment.
Exactly.
And well, also, we got a brother in Florida that's missing, a brother named, young brother named Avanea.
Right.
He was supposed to be on his way back to New York, and we haven't heard from him since Thursday. Mm-hmm. We called his phone. A stranger had his phone, and it's like, you know, things going on where, you know, this guy don't know where he got the phone from, who he bought it from, and it's connected with our brother Avanea, young brother that's out there in Florida. So our prayers go out for him because he's missing right now.
Right.
And then there's another sister, Ima Raquel, that passed recently that we're grieving over. So there's so much going on in the world right now. It's just happening in waves. So
that's what
our people say, pray it up and pray for our people that's in trouble because we definitely in trouble.
It seems like, contrary to my points was synchronized, it seems, with Yah and the seriousness of what we're dealing with and the land that we're in, health-wise, safety-wise, our sisters, and so on and so forth. It affects everything. The land you're living in, and the food that you are subject to, the medical care that you're subject to, and the safety that you're subject to. We always say on this show, it comes from all ends. But let us keep each other in mind and keep each other in our prayers under these dire circumstances. And I'm sorry for your cousin, Cartrell. I'm sorry for the young brother missing and the sister that has passed on, transitioned on. And let us keep them in mind, brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. That's true. Do you have any more commentary, Cartrell?
You mentioned the founding fathers,
and
I thought that was so interesting because we hear America talking about their founding fathers and the Constitution and what they wrote and how that holds them together. And it's so unfortunate that we don't know our founding fathers because they are the ones that have the ability to give us the right frame of mind and to hold us together as a people, as other people look to their founding fathers. We talk about George Washington and Hamilton as our founding fathers. No, they're not. They are ancient slave masters. And our ancient fathers, our founding fathers, had a connection with the Most High that most other nations don't have. And we need to reconnect with that.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I was watching Cartrell, documentary about Abraham Lincoln this past Sunday. I found it rather fascinating, coming from their perspective. And I only wished, Cottrell, that we knew as much as they know about their founding father, their constitution, and their nation. But unfortunately, Cottrell, some of us seem to think that's not important. That's old-timey stuff. But the things they bring up, old-timey stuff, ain't nothing much said about it. But we bring up old-timey stuff. Oh, that Cottrell, that Yumsu, I don't know, they bring up that old-timey stuff, well, that old-timey stuff, if some of you like to call it. See, it's business, it's cornerstone and foundation of what we should be and who we should be. So that old-timey stuff, yes, we need that old-timey stuff. Any more commentary, Cottrell?
Yeah, so the Most High says he's from everlasting. How old is that?
That's old. That's old-timey.
He says he's from everlasting to everlasting. So give me that old-timey stuff that these people don't want, because Yah is from everlasting, and you can't put no age on that.
No, and you need that old-timey stuff, Cottrell. You can't, as you said, you can't put no age on that. Well, fellow brothers and sisters, thank you, Cottrell, my brother, and my condolences. Fellow brothers and sisters, if you will you turn your maps, your books, to Devarim, the 23rd chapter. We are almost done, perhaps at this weekend. We're going into the campaigns of Joshua and the nation, in the book of Joshua, and the land allotment and so on and so forth. Quite detailed information. And a lot we're going to learn in our studies, the next series of studies. And Cottrell will be concluding the Psalms quite soon. We're proceeding right on into the book of the Proverbs, because we need all the, I read some Psalms out of Proverbs. I try to read the Psalms and the Proverbs each and every day, because some wisdom and understanding for some of us, I mean, we need it. All right.
Not some of us. We all need it.
Now, you said a mouthful of that, Cottrell. We certainly do, brother. No man shall marry his father's former wife. Can't marry his stepmama. So as to remove his father's garment. It's an act of shame. I mean, his father was naked with this woman. And you going to get naked with her? That removing your father's garment is an act of shame. You're shaming your father. No one who testes, you know, men know what I'm talking about, your testicles. No one whose testicles are crushed or whose member is cut off shall be, if you're a eunuch, and you got that member, the little fella cut off, shall be admitted into the congregation of Yah. You can't go into the congregation, the house of Yah. No one misbegotten, a bastard, shall be admitted into the congregation of Yah. None of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall be admitted into the congregation of Yah. That didn't mean that you couldn't be in a tribe, but you couldn't go into the congregation of Yah. You couldn't go into the house of God, Yah, to offer everything that the other brothers and sisters could offer. You could still be part of the nation, but you couldn't be admitted to the congregation of Yah. No Ammonite, a Moabite, shall be admitted into the congregation of Yah, none of their descendants, even the 10th generation, shall ever be admitted to the congregation of Yah, because they did not meet you with food. That's the reason why. Even though they are your kinfolk, here's the reason why. Because they did not meet you with food and water on your journey after you left Mizraim. And in addition, they had Balaam, son of Beor, from Petor of Amram-Naharam to curse you. But Yah your Elohim refused to heed Balaam. Instead, Yah your Elohim turned the curse into a blessing for you. For Yah your Elohim loves you. Key.
So.
Go ahead.
The Moabites were given a time limit until their 10th generation. We don't know how many generations it's been, but I'm sure it's been 10 generations. For the Moabites.
Yeah, they could be admitted now.
There you go.
They could be admitted now. But, you know, a lot of people, Cartrell, because they lack study, and they would think, well, Yom Suf, you're being rather harsh on bastards. No, I'm not anything. I'm just saying what Yah says. I'm not saying they couldn't be part of a nation. But they couldn't go into the They couldn't do the thing that all Israelites could do. They couldn't go before Yah in the sacrifices and whatnot. They couldn't bring sacrifices before Yah.
They were for 10 generations.
Let me reread that. But it said, even with them, none of this, even in the 10th generation, shall be admitted to the congregation of Yah.
What about the 11th generation?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it's the 11th generation now. You know what I mean? But to them, it's up to the 10th generation. To the 10th, but after the 11th generation, the Most High doesn't speak until we come to something else past the 11th generation. I can only say what Yah says to the 10th generation. And if I go to the 10th generation, I go to the 11th generation, I will be adding to it. So I can't add to it or take away from it. Beyond the 10th generation, I suspect that they could be added. Cartrell.
Yeah, me too. As long as they repent
of
what their fathers did to the nation of Israel.
Right.
They try to get in their favor with Yah, us.
Yeah, y'all ain't hating. And hold on, remember I told y'all about the Edomites? Hold on, let's go back up. You should never concern yourself with their welfare or benefit as long as you live, Moab and Ammonites. Now, remember what I told you about the Edomites? A lot of y'all like to hate on them. But here's what Yah said. I don't care about what somebody told you. You shall not abhor an Edomite. Why?
How many of us are guilty of that?
A whole lot of us, Cartrell.
Okay. But Yah said.
That's what I'm saying. Yah said, you shall not abhor an Edomite.
Okay, I didn't say it. Well, you ain't say it.
I didn't say it either. And why? He is your kinsman.
Okay.
Your brother and sister. You shall not abhor a Mizraim. Whoa. That's deep, ain't it?
How many of us do that?
We still do it, Cartrell.
We talk about we hate the Hamite. No,
you
can't hate the Hamite.
No, he said don't do it. He said, for you were a stranger in his land.
In the beginning, and because we were strangers, we're supposed to know how to do what?
Treat strangers.
Okay. Bing, bing, bing. You got the apple and the gold star.
I pick it up after work. Children, children born to them, listen to me. Children born to them may be admitted into the congregation of Yah in the third generation. They can come and bring the children of the Edomites and the Mizraims. They can come and bring sacrifices to Yah. Man, y'all don't get it. I ain't saying it. Y'all saying it. And when you go out, go ahead, Cartrell. Go ahead.
Some of our people think that all of Edom is going to be destroyed, but right here in this chapter that we're reading, we see that they have a chance, don't they?
Yeah, they got a chance. But see, everybody else, unfortunately, Cartrell, because a lot of folk got hate in their heart.
And what y'all say about that?
And he said, don't hate them.
Okay.
See, y'all got a right to do what y'all got a right. But just because y'all have a right, that don't give you the right. He give you instruction. You ain't y'all, okay? Don't be trying to put on airs like you y'all. That's your problem. Well, y'all got a right to hate what he want to hate and love what he want to love. But you ain't got no right to hate nothing. You ain't made nothing. You ain't put the breath of life in nobody. What you need to do is work on you. Instead of running around hating on everything and everybody and don't know the specification of the codification, they're going to run around there. I hate you. Come on now. Some of y'all need to stop it. Reason being, you're not studying. And when you go out as a troop against your enemies, be on guard toward anything up with them. Be cognizant. Be always on point. Have your ears on. If anyone among you have been rendered unclean by a nocturnal emission, what that mean? That means you had a nasty dream. And then you ski to the window, to the wall. You had a nocturnal mission. That person must leave the camp. He must not re-enter the camp. Toward evening, here's what he should do. Toward evening, he should bathe in water. And at sundown, he may re-enter the camp. Further, because Most High deals in righteousness. You can't come with no nastiness, no kind of dirty. Further, there should be an area for you outside those war camps where you can't pee inside the camp, where you may relieve yourself. A boo-boo. With your gear, with your combat gear, you should have a spike. And when you have squatted, took a boo-boo, you should dig a hole with it and cover up your excrement. See, y'all cared about nature. You didn't want you running around all over the country, boo-booing all over the place, leaving it out in the open like you're an animal. Y'all say
people stepping all up in it.
Yeah, stepping on in it, smelling and making yourself nasty, your brothers in the war camps nasty. And, you know, we do that in the military today. Wonder what we got that for. Wonder what we got that for, Cartrell.
Hey, your guess is as good as mine.
I think I'm reading it, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah, foundation.
Yeah, and we carry a little shovels that collapsible shovels in our military gear, and we use it to dig foxhole and dig boo boo holes. And in the military, you can't just relieve yourself. I just go outside of my tent, pee on the side of the tent. I can't do that. And they have special places. The design in the camps, in the modern day camps, just like our camps were set up, our war camps, we had places to relieve ourselves. And now you know where you. That's why these studies are important. Since Yah, your Elohim's move, since Yah is in the presence of you in your camp to protect you. Yah is in the presence. He says, Yah, your Elohim, moves about in your camp. He's in within. He is in your war camps to protect you and deliver your enemies to you. Let your camps be holy. You can't do it no any kind of which way. Let him not find anything unseemly among you and turn away from you. If Yah finds anything wrong in those war camps, he's going to turn away from you and leave you. That's why you got to.
So Yah delivers who's to where?
Now, say it again.
I say Yah delivers what to us?
The victory.
Fight our own battle. It's Yah who fights our battle for us.
Well, you're fighting it for Yah anyway. You're fighting these battles for Yah. This is not for personal attainment, medals, and land acquirement. This is for Yah to tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And sometimes, by virtue, you get a little bit of something, but you don't go start in these waters with people just because. If Yah wants you to go to battle, he wants you to go to battle, and you don't call it into question. But you're not going for medals or to do a parade and like the Romans did in the forum of to subdue people just for the sake of subduing people. We are holy people. We do it because Yah says do it and for a reason why doing it. Not just because. And by virtue, Yah is in the midst of these war camps. And you can't be doing nothing wrong. Man, when you have a nasty dream, you may be dreaming about your wife back home. And you done did a little to the window, to the wall. Ski, ski. You got to get up out of that camp. You got to take a bath. And you can't come back to evening time. That's how serious Yah was. That's how serious Yah is.
Because I bet you the Marines didn't have those regulations, did they?
Oh, no, man. You could have all kinds. You could do like Michael Jackson, just beat it. You know what I mean? You just have to.
And go to war too.
Yeah, Yah didn't work in them camps, man. Okay, Yah went in them camps. Okay. You like I said, you do like Michael Jackson. Just beat it. You know what I mean? I mean even Yah camps, even Yah war camps, these Marine Corps war camps. And they ain't nothing nice. Believe you me, I know. It says Yah, your Elohim, moves about you in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Let your camp be holy. Ain't no anything going. Ain't no beat it. Ain't no having no night dream about your old lady back home.
Playboy magazine.
Ain't none of that. No Playboy magazines or none of that up in this camp. No hoes. No, none of that up in this camp. Let Yah not find anything unseemly among you, and because if he does, he'll turn away from you. You should not turn over to his master a slave who seeks refuge with you from his master.
America's in trouble.
Yeah, real big trouble. He should live in any place he may choose among the settlements. Right? If he come running to you, that person may choose to among your settlement, in your land, in your midst, wherever he pleases. You must not ill treat him. You must not mistreat this person. If an Israelite woman, listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to have to go back on this one.
The law you just read is the law that Lot was following with the angels. Although they wasn't running, he gave them refuge and protected them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Certainly did. And we should be that way. But here's one, a good one. Some of y'all need to take this to heart. No Israelite woman shall be a cut prostitute. And then go from you whole men too. Hoes can be men or women. Nor should any Israelite man be a cut prostitute. So when I call a hoe could be a man and a hoe could be a woman. So don't you women be taking it personally. You know what I'm saying? He don't respect women. He said he got, man, when I'm talking about hoes, I'm talking about male or female. Okay? So don't be putting words in my mouth. Come ask me what I mean. I'm going to tell you what I mean. Because when I go to hell, you will know what I mean. No Israelite woman shall be a cut prostitute, nor shall any Israelite man be a cut prostitute. You should not bring...
You know what they call them?
What's that, Cartrell?
They call them chicken hawks.
Yeah, chicken heads, chicken hawks, chicken heads, same
chicken hawks.
Chicken hawks. And look here. You can't bring no whole money. You can't be no hoe. And you can't bring that money that you made hoeing to Yah. He don't want that money. All money ain't good money. You should not bring the feet of a hoe in a junction to show you how he despised that kind of money or the pay of a dog to the house of Yah, your Elohim, in fulfillment of any vow. For both are horrid to Yah, your Elohim. You can't bring the money of prostitution and the money that you just sold a dog for. And somebody just
said, hey,
you done bought a dog. Go ahead, Katra.
How much prostitute money passed through your hands? You don't even know.
I don't even know. Because, see, when you ain't in your land, you don't know what kind of money you bring in.
You got your paycheck. You went to the cashier. They're giving you money. But that money that they're giving you could have been through prostitutes' hands.
Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Buying dogs. Somebody done bought dogs. And you don't know
somebody
where that money.
Somebody paid somebody to hit somebody to kill somebody.
You don't know where that money coming from. All money ain't good money. We say it all the time, Cartrell.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of y'all in y'all communities said the very thing Yam Soup is saying. All money ain't good money. I wonder where y'all got that from.
Some prostitutes are rich.
Yeah, but y'all don't want that whole money.
Oh, no. You got
okay.
The poor girls, right? They prostitutes.
Y'all don't want that whole money. And if you're a gigolo, bro, and you shaking your behind, y'all don't want your money. You got funny money, too. Okay? I know gigolos need love. Well, y'all don't need your money, okay? And I know some of you sisters out there ain't a whole like a good old. Y'all don't want your money. All money ain't good money. Y'all ain't down with that. And so he said the money is abhorrent because the lifestyle you living is abhorrent. He don't want no parts of it. So
hey,
if you do,
too.
Yeah, go
money
ahead.
Is money, man. Money is money.
Well, no, that ain't what y'all saying, player. I don't care what they do.
Money is money.
No, it ain't. Not to y'all, it ain't. It may be to me. It may be to you. It may be to some of them fellow students out there. But to y'all, all money ain't good money. Okay.
Think about that.
You should not deduct interest. You can't lend your brothers and sisters money and deduct interest from loans to your countrymen. Rather, if you loan your countrymen money or food or anything else, that can be deducted if you can't put interest on. But you may deduct interest from loans to foreigners, of people of different nations. Do not deduct interest from loans to your country. You know a lot of y'all do. You do it in the neighborhood right now. What we call in country or in the neighborhood, we call it loan sharking.
Extortion.
Yeah, we do it in the neighborhood now. Yum Soup used to do it. I'm gonna be clear about it. Yum Soup used to charge what 50 cents on a dollar, dollar on a dollar. That was Yum Soup was ignorant. Just like some of y'all ignorant out there. Y'all charging y'all brothers and sisters interest. Yum Soup don't do that no more. Whatever Yum Soup say, hey, if I give you 100, pay me 100 back. If I give you 50, give me my 50 back. That's all I want. But when Yom Suf think it was broken, entirely broken, Yom Suf used to do it. Yom Suf don't do it no more. And y'all should, if you're doing it, you need to stop it. So that your, why? So that that Yah, your Elohim, may bless you and all your undertaking in the land that you're about to enter. Basically, this should have been exercised in our land. But even that being said, it's still, I exercise it outside our land too. Okay?
And it would be nice if our enemies did the same thing too, right?
In our regard, it certainly would be.
What you're paying on a mortgage on your house is that interest. So if you buy a $100,000 house, by the time you finish that 15 or 30-year mortgage, you have paid way more than $100,000 for that house.
Yeah, you paid way
it's compounded interest. So, yeah, you buying a house, you buying a car, they charge you what? Compounded interest. So you think you're paying $100,000 for a house, but you wind up paying $350,000 by the time you finish that 15 or 30 year mortgage.
It's a racket. It's a racket. Okay. And when you make a vow.
Because I worked in real estate.
Yeah. You already know it's a racket. When you make a vow to Yah your Elohim, do not put off fulfilling it, for Yah your Elohim will require it of you, and you will have, and you will have incurred guilt, whereas you incurred no guilt, and you refrain from vowing. Well, if you don't make a vow, you ain't got to worry about it. You must fulfill what crossed your lips and perform what you have voluntarily, Yah made you do it, vow to Yah your Elohim. Having made the promise with your own mouth, when you enter another man's vineyard, here's what Yah tell you. You may eat as many grapes as you want until you are full. If you came into Yom Suf vineyard, you can eat as many grapes as you want until you're full. But you must not put any in your vessel, in your pockets, in your bag,
in your bag,
in your car, in the trunk of your car. And when you enter another man's field of standing grain, you may pluck ears with your hand, but you must not put a sickle to your neighbor's grain like it's yours, like you own it. You don't own it. Now, you can pluck grains from the stalk, but you can't cut down nobody's stuff. You ain't planted. All right, Cartrell. We're going to stop right there. Do you have any commentary, my brother and friend?
So, if you're in the land of Israel,
you're in the land.
You be starving?
No, man, you be fool. You be patting a tick on a dog.
So, you know, I got grapes in my 250 acres. You come to my land and eat.
Right.
You got to worry about eating for the next day. Go to somebody else's yard, right?
Yeah. I cross my desk yard the next day. They got some. They got olives. Well, I guess I'm going to eat me. I'm going to get full on these olives. You know what I mean? I cross over to somebody else's land. They got lemons. Well, I don't know how many lemons you're going to eat.
So if you're homeless in our land, guess what?
Yeah, you ain't going to be hungry. You ain't going to
be hungry. You're not going to be hungry at all, right?
You might not have much of nothing, but you're going to have a full belly. And I'm pretty sure if you knocked on my door, and I own that 200 some acres, you knocked on my door, I'm not gonna turn down from slaying a sheep, telling somebody to give them some bread, and sit down at the table with me. Eat. Let me talk. Where you been? Who your name? What's your name? You need a job? You know what I mean? I'm not gonna turn you away. So not only can you get full, eat my grapes or olives or whatnot, But I guarantee you knock on my door, I ain't going to turn it down from my dinner table. Just like Job didn't turn folk down at his dinner table. I wouldn't turn you down. We shouldn't turn each other down.
That's right.
Your commentary, my brother.
I think that the most important thing in this chapter is verse 21.
Okay. Read it for us, Kadria, and break it down for us like we three know.
When you shall vow a vow, that's us giving our word.
Give your
to
word.
One another. Like
exactly.
Yom Tov. I'm going to be there for you, man. Every night. 7 o'clock. Real talk for real people. I give you my word. I'm going to be there.
And you be here. I only woke you up one time. I mean, tell me, almost 2 years, Katya, I think you've been with the show. I only had to wake you up one time. And when I woke you, you said, where am I? Who am I?
That ain't my fault. That's nature. When nature calls, you got to answer the call, baby.
Katya, I can't say nothing. Abby, I had to wake me up on the show. And I host the show. I mean, more than one time. Yum Su, where you at? Oh, Lord.
Yum Su.
Yo.
Imagine if we kept our word to each other.
Exactly.
Imagine if we kept our word.
It would be beautiful, brother. It would be no lie. It would be no shucking and jive. You can depend on us.
Yes.
I can depend on Cartrell. I can depend on Yum Su. Right, I can trust them. They're going to do what they're going to say they're going to do.
It's the foundation of trust, a person keeping their word. If you vow a vow, I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock. You're going to see me at 6:30.
Exactly.
And we're going to roll out together at 7 o'clock. You understand?
I'm
not showing up at 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You looking for me. You waiting for me. You wonder why I ain't call you yet. But that's how we do, right?
No, I'm like you. I'm there probably before you get there. And me and you
exactly.
Going somewhere. You said soup. You said Cartrell. You said soup. You leave it at them. I guarantee I'm going to be there about 6:15, about 6:30, 6:45. I'm going to be there. When you come out the house, I have some coffee for you. Here you go, man. You want some coffee? Ready to go?
Listen, I'm a shop steward. For the New York City Union of Carpenters Joiners Union.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They say the job start at 7 o'clock.
Right.
Guess what time I'm showing up?
6:30.
Okay. Or earlier.
Right.
Like you ain't showing up at 7 o'clock with our enemies. Because when they say 7 o'clock, they mean 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
When we talk to each other, we plan things, we say 7 o'clock, what time are we showing up?
When we get ready?
10, 11, 12, 1.
We get ready. It's going to cut you out. It's going to cut you out if I bring that to your attention.
See, but the union I work in, the Carpenters Union, you show up at 7, they firing you.
I don't blame them. Well, I would too. I don't blame him, Cartrell, but I would too. You know,
but
know
I'm
what
telling
I
you,
do.
There's a difference between how other people work and how we work.
Yeah. Well,
when they give their word, when they want to work, when they want to achieve a project, when they say 7 o'clock, they showing up at 6 o'clock, 6:30.
They mean it.
Not 7:10, not 7:15. Not 7:30, not 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, with an excuse.
Right.
These guys are showing up every day, 6 o'clock, 6:30.
Well, my mama and my daddy, they taught me to be early. I've very seldom, and I think, Cartrell, you know, when I used to be a bad guy, and when I get my act together and I go to these jobs, I think what they lacked about me, that I was there early. I was there at those jobs early. And therefore, I had a 29-year work history, even though I, you know, I had a checkered past, which I paid for. But when I retired, I had 29 years. Now, imagine if I had had my mind together way before my retirement. I'd have had, 36, 38 years of work history, 36 years or something. But thanks to Most High, I had the 29 years, which helped facilitate my retirement. So, you know, there's a saying, Katya, and I believe it's quite true. The Most High take care of babies and fools. And I certainly was one of the two. Now, imagine which one I was. Okay. I certainly, well, I didn't retire as no baby, so what else? Okay. All right, fellow students. Katya, any more commentary, Katya?
My point was that our enemies, mm-hmm. when they have jobs and they have businesses and they give you a job, you're not
right.
showing up late unless you want to get fired. When it
but
comes to us doing things and getting things done, we say 7 o'clock, we'll show up at 10, 11, 12 with an excuse. So we need mm-hmm. to learn how to put as much into ourselves as we do for the production for our enemies.
Well, I love us, Katya. I love us, but we're mad. I love us, but we're mad. We're trifling. We have learned to be trifling. We have learned to not give each other the best job and the best performance, but performance that we want to give and attitude along with it. You know, and you know, a lot of lies. I'm gonna be right there next time, and you're worse than the next time. You know, and that's a sign of delusional, mad. We're mad, and
that's why Yah stresses the importance of our vows. When we give our word, we say something. We have
right.
to be about what we say. We have to mean what we say and say what we mean. If you
exactly.
don't mean what you say, don't say it.
Point blank. Point blank. Ain't nobody got no gun on you. But if you're going to say it, you need to follow up on what you're saying. You need to honor the word.
That's what Yah says.
That's what Yah says. That's not what Yom Tzu says. Right. That's not what Cartrell says.
You shall not lack to pay it, fulfill it.
Exactly.
For Yah, your Elohim, will surely require it of you. And it would be a sin unto thee if you didn't keep your word. So you tell
exactly.
you mess with Yah, you could swear to me, you could swear to Yom Tzuf, but don't do that to Yah and not keep your word. If you
exactly.
give your word to Yah, like I'm going to dedicate my life to you, and then you go left, then Yah's going to hold you to that.
Going to hold you to it.
Don't play with words.
Yeah. He created
so he
the
said,
world. He created the world with words. You know what I mean?
If you forbear to bow, it shall not be sent to you. So you ain't got to swear. I swear to God, I'm going to change my life. And you don't
right.
change your life. No, don't swear to God. Change your life. And don't make those kind of vows where you're committed to it, to where, you know, some point in time you're going to be weak and turn back. Because y'all going to hold you accountable.
Exactly. And when you fall, get your behind back up and keep it moving. You know, everybody make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, get your butt back up. And keep it moving. All right, Cartrell, fellow students, chapter 24. A man takes a wife and possesses her. She fails to please him because he finds something obnoxious about her. He writes her a bill of divorcement, hands it to her, sends her away from his house. She leaves his household and becomes the wife of another man. Then this latter man rejects her. Writes her a bill of divorcement, hands it to her, and sends her away from his house. Are the man who marries her last dies? Then the first husband who divorced her shall not take her to wife again. You can't remarry. I know a whole lot of y'all remarried and carried on. You remarried a woman in marriage, you didn't divorce her. The other guy didn't divorce her. He dies, you can't remarry her.
Who was that woman that married Burt Reynolds like 5 or 6 times?
I think it was Elizabeth Taylor.
Liz Taylor.
Liz Taylor.
How many times she remarried to Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, I think she meant remarried 3 times, did she? I don't know, man.
I think it was more than that.
Yeah.
So married, divorced, got married to somebody else, went back, got divorced, married somebody else, went back.
That'll put a lot of stop to, you know, you don't want to take women and knock them off. That's slick knockoff right there. That's slick. Just mad women, just knock them off. Now, you're not committed to marrying them and staying with them. You're either going to knock off, maybe, yeah, you knock off, oh, I don't want her no more. I'm going to divorce her. Then somebody else married. Then you done knocked off 2 or 3 more. Now you want to go back and get her again. That'll put a lot of stop to a whole lot of nonsense, if you ask me, Cartrell.
Yeah. Because when you intimate with a woman, it's a spiritual vibration that is there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's an abhorrent thing to Yah. You must not bring sin upon the land that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you as a head. Your defiled acts are defiling the land. When a man has taken a bride, he shall not go out with the army and be assigned to it for any purpose. He should be exempt 1 year for the sake of his household to give what? Happiness to the woman he's married. You about to put it down on her. You about to have a good time with her. You know, you about to get that woman some happiness. Contreras, what do you think about that?
I think it's fair. So you go off to war, you just marry this woman, you die. How tragic is that?
So
it's fair. You just got married.
Right.
20-something years old.
Right.
Being called up for service to fight for the nation.
Right.
But they give you that outcome because you just got married.
Right.
And
you
should have the opportunity to get to know your wife,
right?
To be able to be fruitful and multiply, have children, before you put your life on the line for the nation.
Well, for some of y'all that slow out there, let me break it down to you like you 4 years old. You and your wife would have some buck naked fun, okay? Make her happy. Is that good enough for y'all to understand? You're 20 years old, okay? I suspect you're a young woman. You're supposed to be having some buck naked fun. Be fruitful and multiply. Is that good enough for y'all to understand? You don't supposed to be making war. You're supposed to be making love. I wonder where they got that from, Cartrell. Don't make war, make love.
I'll tell you this, Doc.
Yeah.
If I just got married and I had to go to war, where would my mind be? On my newly...
On that fine woman back there?
Or would it be on conquering my enemies?
Mine, I'm going to tell you where mine going to be at. I'm 20 years old, Contra. Me and you, Road Dog. I get married. And you say, Yum Sue. Yeah, what's up, bro? They calling us out. I said, for what? They ain't calling me nowhere. Man, I just married this fine sister. It's going down for a whole year. I'm telling you, I ain't doing nothing. Yeah. Be safe, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you. You heard me, Cartrell. For sure.
How fair is that?
I think that's more than fair. I just married. She young. I'm young.
The Marines ain't got that provision, do they?
They ain't got that kind of provision.
They don't care. You just got married yesterday. You coming to war.
Hey,
you belong to Uncle Sam, baby.
I don't care if you got married that same day. You better come. Truth be told, Cartrell.
And what happens? So you go off to service.
And your mind is distracted. And your mind is distracted.
And you get your mind, because she's a woman. And she's beautiful. And she's attractive while you all fighting the war. What you think going to happen while you fighting the war and you got this fine, young, attractive woman home by herself.
I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen.
Feeling lonely.
We sing a song about it, Katria. We sing a song about it in the Marine Corps. Really? Ain't no sense in going home. Girl ain't gone. Live right. Live right. We got a song for it in the Marine Corps. Ain't no sense in going home. Jody's got your girl and gone. Live right. Live right.
That's the saddest song I ever heard of.
But it's true. A lot of Jody's.
I mean, it's true.
A lot of Jody's got them boys, women, and gone. Truth be told, now.
Them Dear John letters.
My friend in boot camp. I don't know if I told y'all. I just met him. He was from New York. I guess I like them brothers from New York. Cribs was from New York. And Cribs' girlfriend sent him a Dear John letter. But y'all may think I'm wrong. Y'all soup, you a dirty dog. And I'm going to tell you, this is how the story went. I'm going to give you a condensed version. See, I grew up with seven brothers and five sisters. You know, that means meals wasn't that filling. So, mind y'all going to the Marine Corps. I'm eating high on the sheet. Never had it so good. Three meals a day, and I'm getting full. Now, I can stand a little bit extra now. I'm 17 years old. I'm still growing. Cribs come to me, all depressed and whatnot. He said, "Killer bro," I said, "What's up, bro?" He said, "My girlfriend sent me a Dear John letter." He said, "You know, we're supposed to eat our trays when we get them. Will you do me a favor and eat my tray for me?" And I said, yeah, friend. You know, I take one for the team. You know I will. And I think that lasts about, I was eating crib trays for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was looking out for Cribs. I really was. And Cribs came back to me about 3 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, happy. He said, he had tears in his eyes. He said, she ain't going to leave me. She ain't going to leave me. She said, she made a mistake. And I can eat my trade now. You know what I said to myself? A dirty heifer. Hey, I told you, I ain't thinking about y'all. I ate good. I looked out for Cribs. I don't care what y'all think about me. I looked out for him. But when that meal came short, I guess I wouldn't fit in this girl. Say what you want to say, Cadre. I'm going to get back to my studies then, since y'all think so bad of me.
So the warriors in our nation had the opportunity to be intimate with their wives before they went off to war.
Exactly.
And it gave them opportunity to have children. So if she got pregnant and was occupied with a child,
right,
then the father of that child could go to war knowing that her mind is going to be on that child.
On that baby. Right. All right. He shall be exempt 1 year for the sake of his household to give happiness to the woman he has married. A hand meal or a upper millstone shall not be taken as you can't pawn it. But that will be taking someone's life in a pawn. It can't be pawned to you. That's the means of survival to eat. If a man is found to have kidnapped a fellow Israelite, enslaving him or selling him, that kidnapper shall die. We don't go for that. Thus you will sweep out evil from your midst. You don't kidnap a brother.
So Joseph's brother should have got put to death, right?
Truth be told. Truth be told, Cartrell. But we didn't have those laws and codifications.
That's right.
We didn't have them then. But if we had them then, it certainly would apply to them.
Oh, Lord.
It certainly would apply to them.
It wouldn't have been no tribe of Judah, tribe of Levi, tribe of Reuben. It would have only been Joseph and Benjamin. Huh?
Wouldn't have been that. Wouldn't have been the tribe of Manasseh, Ephraim.
And Benjamin and Joseph.
No, it wouldn't have been none of that. Well, I don't know. Now, Benjamin was involved in that situation.
That's what I'm saying. He would have been the one that survived along with Joseph and his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Right.
When there's been no Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Reuben, Judah, Issachar, Naphtali, Gad.
Danites. Wouldn't have been none of them.
So y'all okay. Worshipful.
Certainly is, Cartrell. Certainly is. In case of a skin infection, be most careful. Do exactly as the Levitical priest instructs you. Take care to do as I have commanded you. Commanded them. I'm commanding them. Remember what Yah your Elohim did to Miriam on the journey after you left Mizraim. When you make a loan of any...
The priests had to be like physicians too when you're dealing with skin infections and all that kind of stuff.
No, they were our physicians.
Yeah.
Because the Most High instructed them. See, a lot of folks thought we didn't have doctors and whatnot. Now, we didn't have doctors like they got doctors. But we had physicians by virtue of the Levitical priests because they were instructed by Yah to give us our right prescription. The real prescription. Okay? And told us what to do. So you would have to go to the Levitical priest. Levitical priest would approach Yah, and Yah would give him the diagnosis, and he would give us the diagnosis and give us the prescription. We had doctors too, just not like they do. I bet y'all didn't know that, did you? Now you know. When you make a loan of any sort to your countryman, you must not enter his house or seize his place. You can't take it. You must remain outside while the man to whom you made the loan brings the pledge out to you. If he is a needy man, you shall not go to sleep in his pledge. You must return the pledge to him at sundown, that he may sleep in his clothes and bless you. You can't hold on to it. It will be to your marriage for Yah your Elohim. You shall not abuse a needy and destitute labor, whether a fellow countryman or a stranger, one of a different nation, in one of the communities of your land. You must pay him his wages on the same day, not at the end of the week, before the sun set. For he
not
is
bi-weekly?
No, not weekly, every day, brother. You must pay him his wages on the same day before the sun sets. But he is needy and urgently depends on it. As he would cry to Yah against you, you will incur guilt. Parents should not put to death. Parents should not be put to death for their badass children. Nor children be put to death for their badass parents. A person should be put to death only for his own crime. Somebody should have told Kamala Harris that when she set up that law to lock parents up for their children not going to school. Somebody should have told her that. You should not subvert the rights of the stranger, different nations, or the fatherless. You should not take a widow's garment and spoil. You can't take her garment. Remember that you were a slave in misery, and that Yah your Elohim redeemed you from there. Therefore, I do enjoin you to observe these commandments. When you reap the harvest in your field and overlook a sheaf in the field, do not turn back to get it. If you miss getting something in your field, don't turn back to get it. It should go to the stranger, people of different nations, and the fatherless, and the widow, in order that Yah your Elohim may bless you, contingent upon that act, you and all your undertaking. When you beat down the fruit of your olive trees, do not go over them, don't beat them again. That should go to the strangers, people of different nations, the fatherless, the orphans, and the widow women. When you gather the grapes of your vineyards, do not pick it over again, don't go over it again. They should go to the stranger. People of different nations, the fatherless, the orphans, and the widow women. Always remember that you were a slave in a land of misery. Therefore do I enjoin you to observe this commandment, because everything is contingent upon that. Cartier, my dear friend, do you have any commentaries?
Well, it shows you how far our mindset is from these commands that Yah has given us,
exactly.
Which makes us an Eastern people as opposed to a Western-minded people, because Western-minded people are all about themselves. We
right.
are given instructions to be considerate of the poor, the fatherless,
be
and the widow.
Be compassionate.
At all times, every Israelite, not just some people, all of our people.
Right.
So if that happened in our land, you ain't got to worry about nobody. Nobody
mm-hmm.
in your family, nobody that you don't know, that's a stranger. Because, you know, somebody in our land is going to take care of that stranger if it's not
yeah.
you. If you didn't have
right.
the ability to do that. Somebody in the land is going to take care of that stranger. They're not just going to be out in the street in the cold and the rain and the wet and the cold. Because y'all is looking at you
exactly.
and how you treat that stranger. And you just leaving them out there like that.
No, you can't do that. And I'm going to tell you. Listen very carefully to what Cartrell and I are teaching you. This is in your land that the Most High has given you as possession in this codification and specification and the contingent action upon that. Do not try this in this Western land. Do not go up there and claim nobody preached to you. They're going to blow you out of that tree, okay? Don't try this in somebody else's land, okay? All right. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you can help somebody, help them.
Yeah.
That's really the essence of it all. If you see somebody struggling, somebody in trouble, and you have the ability to help them, you should, because that should be in your heart, because that
well,
was the prevailing spirit in our land.
Well, even if you listen to me and you are of a different nation, perhaps that would be... beneficial to you to do the very same thing. Not trying to have this capitalistic mindset, this Western culture mindset, all about me, the hell with you. Perhaps it would be
yours.
Perhaps it would be in your best interest also to be blessed by Yah also, to look after people not of your nation, the orphans, the widowless, the widow woman, and the needy. It would go a long way in your best interest also. So these lessons are just not simply Israelites. They're for everybody. Everybody can take heed of these lessons because your blessing could be contingent upon them. Cartrell, any more commentary?
There's one thing that I think about, and it always bothers me, is the system of adoption in America, because there's thousands of our children that come from our people that are in foster care. And what happens to our children in foster care is sometimes a crime, or most times a crime.
Yeah, it is.
And these are, you know, the ones that Yah is telling us to look out for.
Exactly.
And we pray that we get the strength enough up, you know, so that we could take all of our children out of foster care and really look out for their welfare and their well-being.
Well, you know, we didn't need a foster care country because if we did what Yah told us to, everybody cared. Everybody cared for the widow
right.
women. Everybody cared for
right.
the orphan. Everybody cared
That's
for the
right.
nation. They didn't
That's
not
right.
only eat in your field. You provided a place for them to lay down. You provided a place for them to get in and out the rain. You know,
to help them get on their feet, because after 60
right.
years, you had to
right.
let them go, and you had to provide them with substance in order to take care of themselves.
Right. Right. If an orphan came on your land, and I was a very affluent Israelite brother, and I had it going on, and I saw him in my field, I would be less than a man. Say, hey, son, what are you doing? My mom and daddy died in a fire, mister. I land over there, but I can't do nothing. I'm a little child. Well, I tell you what, son. You can't do nothing. Well, I tell you what, you stay with me. You become a man. I'll provide you work. I'll provide you for a place to stay. I'll provide you for means when you get up there, you can go back to your father's or mother's homestead and take care of that. How about that? Okay, mister. Okay, come on with me. You ain't got no clothes, that's all you got. We'll make sure you get some new clothes, okay? All right. See, that's real right there, people. That's real. That's looking out for one another. Okay? It's not Yum Su sitting on his porch and seeing some little boy crossing his field and plucking up grapes and not having the compassion or mercy to go out and find out what's going on and offer additional assistance. That's some assistance by Yah. But what about assistance that we can offer to one another? It should be incumbent upon Yom Su to take an interest of what's going on with every Israelite, every stranger, every widow woman, and take an interest and advocate, offer the means in order to do so, do it. Or make a connection. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe I can only take in five. Maybe I know the guy having the property adjoining to me. And y'all stay where he. I'm gonna go. I take five, y'all. I think my neighbor, he may get handled about six, seven, y'all. That's called looking out. They ain't gotta stay in no orphan. The widow woman ain't gotta be walking around begging and looking for a place to stay. The stranger ain't gotta be walking around begging and looking for a place to stay. We supposed to be looking out not only for ourselves but for others too, for other nations. Because why? Because we are the representative of Yah. That's the primary reason why. And we should be loving and kind and compassionate and merciful to others, as Job was. Contrary, what say you, my brother and friend?
It's just another example of the instruction Yah has given us to take care of each other on
exactly.
Every level.
Exactly.
So, that's what we need to be.
That's what we need to be, Contrail. You're certainly right, my brother. Well, Contrail,
so
if you're done, what's that, Contrail?
So that's the Eastern mindset compared to what we've learned here in captivity.
A whole lot of hot mess, Contrail. A whole lot of hot mess. Mm-hmm. Well, Contrail and fellow student, if Contrail is done with his commentary, I'm done. And we're looking forward to another Psalms of Consolation, Edification, and peace of mind. I'm sure Cartier has one, and we all is.
Yes, sir. Another Psalm of King David, Psalms 143.
You're on point today, 143. You're certainly right.
You sure?
I'm positive, because I remember Friday. Abiyah instructing us where we were.
Okay, no doubt. So another Psalm of King David, and the more we read King David's words, we learn why he was so close to the Most High. And these are things and words and thoughts we should apply to ourselves so we get a relationship with our Creator. So give thanks to our King David, for the words that he left behind for us to follow, the path that he laid, that we all could pick up on and get closer to the Most High. Hallelujah. Yah, hear my prayer. Listen to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, don't bring your servant to trial, since in your sight, no one alive would be considered righteous. How many alive would be considered righteous? No one alive. For an enemy is pursuing me. He has crushed my life into the ground and left me to live in darkness like those who have been long dead. My spirit faints within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old, reflecting on all your deeds, thinking about the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. I long for you like a thirsty land. Answer me quickly, Yah, because my spirit is fainting. Don't hide your face from me, or I'll be like those who drop down into the pit. Make me hear of your love in the morning, because I rely on you. Make me know the way I should walk, because I entrust myself to you. Yah, rescue me from my enemies, I have hidden myself with you. Teach me to do your will, because you are my Elohim. Let your good spirit guide me on ground that is level. For your namesake, Yah, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of distress. In your grace, cut off my enemies. Destroy all those harassing me, because I am your servant. Wow, what a powerful prayer. Because the whole nation of Israel is Yah's servant. And here we see the king is leading us by his leadership. And this is a prayer for all of us. Anytime we have trouble from our oppressors or those who seek to take our lives, what a powerful prayer.
Hallelujah. It certainly is, Cartier. It certainly is. That should give some of us some solace and peace of mind during this COVID-19. As King Darwin humbled himself before Yah. Certainly, if it's good enough for your king, it should be good enough for you too, fellow students, to learn to humble yourself before Yah and to seek answers and resolutions. But Cartrell, my brother and dear friend, what's your commentary?
I think, let me see. Cartrell, your mic is hot. What's your commentary? Cartrell.
Do you have me on?
Oh, yeah, well, look, I thought I had. I don't know, they missed something. Cartrell.
I'm right here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, they mixed up the numbers. They had your numbers as Abiyah number, and Abiyah number is your number. They're playing tricks on us, homie. Sorry about that, Abiyah. Cartrell, what is your closing remarks or your commentary?
I want to hear what Abiyah got to say. She on the line?
Oh, okay. She right. Run it off, but I'm going to bring it back on. You had my phone on. What's that, Abiyah?
No, I was just laughing. Shalom, brothers. I was just laughing because I heard my queen say off mute. I said, now he'll put me in and put a 40-year country out on.
Well, you know what happened to us?
Since you got me here, I do have to ask. I want to ask something. Now, the word bastard, is that, like, my understanding of that, isn't that a child born out of wedlock? Is that the way it's supposed to be?
Cartrell.
A bastard is a child from a nation we're not supposed to marry.
Oh. Okay, because I was always told that the bastard from reading that it was a child born out of wedlock, that the mother wasn't married, so they would call that child a bastard. Because I was wondering, I said, well, it's not the child's fault, so why would the child not be allowed in the congregation? You know, understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
Right.
So I wanted to be clear on that.
We read about children being born out of wedlock. Yeah, if a guy sleeps with a woman and they find out he has to marry her.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know, I have it clarified.
So, when the Most High said that we're not supposed to mingle with the Moabites and the Ammonites and people like that, and if we marry them and have a child.
Because they wouldn't even feed us. Wouldn't even give us bread and nothing, you know. So I understood that, but I was just wanting to make sure that I understood about the basket part.
Yeah. Okay. So those nations couldn't enter into Yah's temple. So if you had children by them, that would make your child what? On the outskirts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well. You clarified it for me, brother. And it's good that y'all staying on point. with Young Tuesday on with 23 and 24, and Brother Costello, you were going point like you said with the 143. So now, brothers, I'm gonna say shalom and may the Most High bless you and thank you. Keep up with this teaching. I can't get enough of it. Shalom.
Thank you very much, Abigail. Shalom.
Thank you, Abigail. We love you. Tell the family we say shalom. Little Gregory, his little brother, his mother. We love you.
Oh, yeah, shalom. Greg. Yeah, with Gregory and the guy inside his self-conscious, he don't call me no more.
What?
He don't call me no more.
But you
got to pay attention to his little brother, man.
Didn't you see the picture of the flag? He was proud of his flag.
I told Cartrell he got his flag. He was happy about that flag. He ain't gonna let nobody touch that flag. His mama can't touch that flag.
You see, he's in a tutoring school right now, right? While the pandemic is going on. Now the teacher's having a hard time having him to say the pledge because he won't say it. He said he want to hold his flag. So.
My man.
Yes, indeed. I told my granddaughter, I said, don't get mad at him. I said, he just connecting with the right thing. He connected with y'all. That's it.
They shouldn't make him pledge allegiance to the flag if he don't want to.
That's right. That's why I told her. I said, don't get upset with him. Don't be mad at him. If he has to stand, he can stand. But he don't have to open his mouth. If he want to hold his flag, he can hold his flag.
Right.
That's the First Amendment right.
Right. He can't make him pledge allegiance to the flag.
That's right.
The flag don't pledge allegiance to us, do it?
Yeah.
It sure does.
Exactly. I pledge allegiance to the flag the same way it pledges allegiance to me, okay? Don't pledge no allegiance to me. Ain't no sense of me pledging no allegiance to me, okay? Now, Abby, you tell Little Gregory, I pledge allegiance to the flag the same way it pledges allegiance to me, okay?
I sure will. I deliver y'all's message. Shalom, brother.
Hi, Sabi, y'all. Most God bless you.
May the Most God bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom, baby. Adriel, thank you, my brother and friend. It's a pleasure doing y'all's work with you on the show nightly, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate the enlightenment and that you give, shedding light on things that have been left unhidden for so long, for so many. And I want to thank you, brother, for your help. And it's a pleasure working with you, doing the work of y'all. Being ambassadors for y'all, it's a pleasure. And I want to keep you in my prayers for your family, for the young brother that's missing, and for the young sister that passed on, and for your friend down in Florida and whatnot.
My cousin.
Your cousin, that's right. For your cousin down in Florida, my apologies.
Yeah,
keep
not him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we go, brother?
Just that the Most High will reach out, send his angels, his healing angel, Raphael, to heal my cousin, and his guardian angel, you know, for my young brother, Abanea, that the Most High, you know, protect him and preserve him and secure him. And I pray for the spirit of our elder, Ima Raquel, who just passed recently. Her funeral is coming up Sunday. That the Most High rest and restore her soul. So there's a lot on my mind, a lot on my heart, you know, in dealing with our people and the tragedies and the dark days that are upon us. And I pray that the Most High draws himself nigh to us. And here's our prayer, here's our cry.
Hallelujah. And I'm happy that the Most High Show can give you some peace of mind and distraction while helping others with these studies. And I'm happy for that. Well, Cartrell.
Yeah. Thank you for allowing me on this platform.
Come on, stop it. Me and you brothers, we in this together. Just like we like Joshua and Caleb. I mean, we just in this together, man. That's what we do. Well, thank you.
Say- The program is Thunder and Lightning, and you got the voice of Thunder, so I guess I must be Lightning.
You certainly are, my brother. You certainly are, because I know I'm a little Thunder. All right, y'all. May the Most High bless you, direct you in all your steps. If you're feeling down and out and depressed during this pandemic, please go to the book of Psalms. Get you some solace and comfort. Connect with somebody. Call Katria, call me, call Abby, call anybody. And read a book. Play some solitaire. That's something you can do. No, don't give up. It's going to be okay. May the Most High bless you. Direct you in order your steps. Please stop leaning to your own understanding, brothers and sisters. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Get your new one. We strongly advise that. Because the old one you got is not working for you. It's working against you. Get you one like King Dawood asked for. And he laid it out for you. One which loved the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your brothers and sisters as yourself. And the third step to righteousness. That's the kind of thinking you need. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And shalom. Good night.
Hey, 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 what's up, man?
Brother,
oh,
what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Come on, talk to me, you can't.